Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Iris.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Girl We Have to Talk podcast.
Hello.
And how are you doing? What's going on?
I
Anything new to report?
am good. I'm so excited to do this particular podcast with you,
Oh,
although I'm
great.
always happy to do with you. And I was just listening to our one about masturbation. I mean, we talk
Amazing.
about masturbation for about 5 minutes of it, but it was so good. And I just think we're amazing. And I love doing this with you. And I'm so excited to talk about murder
Awesome.
and psychopaths,
Yes.
sociopaths, because I think
Well,
that's what
you
this is
know,
about.
totally. And I mean, you know more than me, so I just know that they're crazy. But I am going to be, I'm giving this as a disclaimer to our listeners. I'm going to be cooking dinner while we talk, guys. So
No, nope, not allowed.
just pretend like you're here with us in person with your mask on. Making dinner with me because I am making tacos for Taco Tuesday. This isn't going to come out on a Tuesday, but
Ah, what kind of tacos?
just like regular tacos, like just totally grocery store tacos because I just felt like it.
Do you know what I realized? I am the only person in Chicago and Austin who thinks that tacos are just okay.
That's okay. I
Yeah, I'm
love
not
tacos.
obsessed with them.
Oh, I'm a, you can give me any kind of taco. I
I know.
love.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm the only one. Like, people are always like, tacos. And I'm like, yeah. Or, like, literally, do you know the last tacos I had? Actually, these are the, nope, this is not the only tacos I've had. Actually, I've had incredible tacos at Suerte, but I had tacos from Taco Bell, which doesn't even count as tacos, right? We can all agree that's some kind of, I don't even know what it is.
It's, yeah, I get the maybe Tex-Mex,
I don't
them
even
being
know, but it's not
generous.
tacos, but that's what I had. It's so embarrassing to admit being in
Please don't be
Austin when there
embarrassed.
are very so many good tacos, supposedly. But
Well, you're just not a
I think
taco
I grew
girl.
up eating like homemade tacos that were similar to Taco Bell's tacos because they had like sour cream and they were soft tortillas and much more the
Right.
American non-taco, like actual not they're not actually tacos, but
No, just
that's
like
what
the
Americans pretend are
Americanized.
tacos.
Yep. The
Yeah.
nice American food.
Exactly. American fare. So, anyways, but what kind of tacos are they?
Think these are literally just American style tacos, but I don't like sour cream, so not that. But
Okay,
it's like
well then that's more authentic.
well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I'm not Mexican, so I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I just know that I'm making
You're
like
not trying to appropriate the culture. Good for
I'm
you,
really
Iris.
not. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just making American tacos over here with Taco Bell seasoning and ground beef. I'm not even mad about it.
Okay.
And some, I think I have old El Paso things, like shells. So I did make the guacamole and pico de gallo, but and I made that from scratch because I don't like the kind that you buy at the store. But that's about as authentic as it's going to get over here tonight.
And that's fine.
Yes, I mean I'm excited about it. And I will take a taco. Like I have like Asian style tacos. Like I'll eat any kind of taco. It's like my favorite food. And I don't, is it my favorite? It might be. It might be. So yeah, I just want to preface this by saying I'm going to be cooking dinner, guys. So be aware. So do you want to just jump right into talking about
Oh, yeah, because you were asking me what's new.
yes, anything else new?
Is anything else new? So let's think about this. Is anything else new? I mean, probably. I'm probably watching new shows, but I think that's going to go into what we're. I think let's just dive in because I think we're going to have so much to talk about here. Did you end up rewatching it?
I started half, I finished half of it. I didn't finish the
Okay.
whole thing because I got
That's
busy.
fine.
But
That's
I
fine. You
know
remember
enough.
what happened. I
I
mean,
do.
it's really hard to forget what happened.
So
So,
we're going to talk about two documentaries. One of them is on HBO Max and it's called The Cheshire Murders. And the other one is The Night Stalker, which is on Netflix. So if you haven't seen these and you don't want to be spoiled, then probably don't listen to this episode. But if you kind of don't care, then welcome. Or if you've already seen it, obviously, or know about it.
Yeah, and I also might bridge over into what was it called? Murder amongst the Mormons, murder
Yes.
among the Mormons.
And I think a lot of people probably haven't seen that one yet, so this will be great. Well, maybe by the time this comes out, people will. So, yeah. So, do you want to start by saying, like, talking about what, how should we do this? We didn't really plan this out. We just knew what we wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes. This is a good point. I mean, I think let's just talk about how we feel about it. So I would say, I mean, the theme for me for all of these is the idea of sociopath, psychopath. Oh, I think psychopath though is more of a cultural term. I think sociopath is actually more of a legitimate term. But the idea of people who really they don't have a sense of empathy. They're doing things purely for their benefit, and if that includes hurting people in any kind of way, it's really measured against. Well, I've got a. It's measured against self-preservation and survival. So there really isn't any sense of being concerned about, well, how is this going to affect somebody else?
Yeah. So I think I will. So let's talk about what these are all about. So I can
A
tell
good
you
point.
what the Cheshire Murders is about. So this is a true story. I don't know like if that was clear. And it's about a home invasion that happened in 2007. The family, I believe, is the Petit family, but I don't know exactly if I'm pronouncing this correctly. It's Petit. They live in Cheshire, Connecticut, which is why it's called the Cheshire Murders. And two people broke into their house, Stephen Hayes and Joshua, whose last name I am going to butcher, but I'm going to try it because he's a murderer and I don't care that much. Kamen Sarversky. That's definitely wrong. They broke into the house. This family, I believe they had, I watched it this morning. There's two daughters. I don't remember their exact ages, but they're young. Not like young, like 7 and 8, but I think they're like maybe 17 and maybe 13.
Iris? Uh-oh.
And there's the parents.
I lost you there for a second. I don't know if other people could hear you, and it was just on my
Oh,
end.
okay. So, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, the family is a family of four. There's William and his wife, Jennifer. And then they have two daughters who are 17 and 11, Haley and Michaela. So, Michaela's 11, Haley's 17. They broke into their house. This happened on July 23rd. And it was. I feel like Stephen and Joshua, I won't nickname him Joshua, Stephen and Joshua, I feel like they had different agendas. Do you feel the same way?
Yes, I mean, I think that's some of the nuance here that's really important is there. I think they are both people that lack a certain amount of empathy. But there's one in particular that seems more like the ringleader. And from the beginning, and it also, if I remember from the documentary, it seemed like there were signs earlier on in his life that he was troubled,
Now,
that
who
there
do
were
we think is
issues.
the ringleader? So Joshua is the younger guy. Stephen, okay,
Joshua.
so we think Joshua is
Yeah, what
the
do you think?
perpetrator. You know, I'm not sure because I remember we met Stephen's family. So this is, I guess, what I think about like differing agendas, right? I think that things going as south as they went, because for listeners who are not aware, this ended up with two rapes and four murders. Actually, wait, I think the dad is alive. So four attempted, like one attempted murder, three murders, and arson. They burned the house down, or they tried to. And this was supposed to be, I think Stephen went into this because Stephen was kind of just a known criminal. Like his brother was on the show or the documentary, and he was just like, he was trying to get his life together, but he never quite did. And he was just your, I don't want to say regular, because that's kind of like sounding like robbing people is normal. But he was a burglar. Like this dude liked to rob people. He was very like, I want to break into your house. I want to rob you. Like from what I remember, that was like his MO is just to be kind of a criminal. But the Joshua guy seems dark. And I don't know. Like I think he told Stephen that they were going to go into this house and just like rob them because this was a wealthy neighborhood.
Yes, however, he also decides after noticing a young prepubescent girl that he's interested in.
Yes, and I think he saw them the day before at the grocery store. Or
Correct. 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 Late at night, and then they go early in the morning, or maybe no, maybe they go that night later. Yeah, I can't remember exactly the timing.
me either. I don't remember the exact timing, but I tend to think. Oh no! Oh, I found it. It's approximately 3 a.m. So they see them that
Okay.
night, and then they go to their house really early in the morning.
Right, because the other guy is you said Joshua and William is the other guy?
Steven.
Steven keeps texting me like, when are we going to do this? I want to do this.
Right.
I think he was pretty desperate for money. Yes. If I remember. And yes. Joshua comes from like a pretty, like, I think he had support through his family, and I don't think Steven did, if I remember.
Right. Excuse me. And Steven had just gotten out of prison. If I'm like, so this happens towards the end of the documentary, but if I'm remembering correctly, like, Steven had been to prison, and like, he was kind of a scammer. Like, his whole family didn't really trust him. Like, he kept saying he was on the up and up, but he never was. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was maybe some addiction stuff going on there, if I'm remembering correctly. And anyway, long story short, he needed the money, and they knew this was a wealthy family. Mm-hmm. So, cause the dad was an endocrinologist, the mom used to be a nurse, so they're wealthy. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they break into the house to discover the dad sleeping on the couch. They hit him over the head with a baseball bat. They tie him up in the basement. And then they go upstairs and they restrain the rest of the people in the house. And then they went about burglarizing. Right. So you're like, okay, cool. Like, rob these, not cool, but like, fine.
Yeah.
Rob these people. And so it was 7 hours that they were in this home. 7 hours.
Right. Because I think that they didn't think there was enough there, or either found out that there was more money in a bank. So they were waiting for the bank to open so the wife could go get money from the bank.
Yes, exactly. So,
and this is where it gets pretty crazy.
Yes.
So it's not already crazy, but I mean, yeah, spending 7 hours on a burglary, I mean, that's kind of incredible too.
Totally. Okay. So they tied everyone up. The two men are searching the house. They're looking for valuable items. They're disappointed. So yes, Jamie, you're right. They're disappointed. And so they're like, okay, we're going to take mom to the bank to,
right. And obviously not thinking logically here. Like, you would like, is it a good idea to burglarize a home for hours and hours? Like, probably not.
Right. No.
But they so wanted to meet their expectations, mm-hmm. and maybe a bit, desperate. I also think Joshua was there not even to burglarize.
Same.
He was there to sexually assault the prepubescent teenager.
Yes.
And this gave him the time, because then Stephen and the wife, or the mom, mm-hmm. go to the bank, and he's left alone with the children. And that's when he sexually assaults the younger daughter.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what happens. He takes photos of it. And so that's like going to come up later. The police have proof that this occurred.
Which is crazy.
He's absolutely.
But again, this is someone who is not necessarily thinking of consequences, right? Like, it's just thinking of what's going to benefit him in the moment.
Right. Exactly. All right. So then they go to the bank. They withdraw $15,000. And then they are going home.
Oh, she also tells the people at the bank.
Yes, the mom is like, help.
And then the bank alerts the police.
Yep, and then the police
they let her leave.
Crazy.
And the police sit outside the house.
Yeah, and just hang out
while this is still happening, mm-hmm. while people are still living.
Everybody
and
at this point when the police get there is
yes.
here. So anyway, so like, they go back to the house after all of this. They've got 15 grand. And then the Joshua encourages Stephen to sexually assault the mother. So now the mother is being sexually assaulted. At this time, the police are outside. And then they start hearing, like, the police start hearing screaming. And like, sounds of like murders occurring. They then then the police are like, okay, we got to get in here. They go over to the door. They start smelling gasoline. These guys have like poured gasoline all over the entire house, all over Michaela and Haley, who were both alive, and they set them on fire. It is actually just like,
oh, and did you say what happened to the mom?
That she was sexually assaulted by Steven.
Yeah, after he killed
yes.
her. He kills her, and then he sexually assaults her, which is very fascinating. He felt so betrayed by her that she told the
yes.
police.
He saw the police were there, and he was like, oh.
Yeah.
You, I thought
he
we
got
were
enraged.
Friends.
Yeah, there's something about betrayal for him. Like, it, you get the sense, yeah, that he hasn't had a break in his life. But I think it's very different than Joshua, who seems like, he just has always been disturbed.
Yeah,
probably.
So it looks like I think the mom was shot in the head. and then sexually assaulted.
Or, no, maybe strangled and then shot in the head. I mean, I think it was, but and then, sexually assaults her after she's
dead. And then
dead.
The two daughters were burned alive. They died of, like, smoke inhalation.
Or smoke. Exactly. And you could hear the screams. Like, neighbors could hear the screams. Police could hear the screams. They barely get away, and then they end up, I think, get it crashing because they're in a car chase with the police. And it's just, like, everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong. And yeah, to me, the whole thing is so fascinating because they're both criminals who have been out on parole. Right. Yeah. So I think you were talking to me about that initially, like how fascinating that is. So that's that story. So then the other story,
the dad is alive, by the way.
He makes it out. And he spends the rest of his days making sure that parole is very, very limited or hardly ever possible. Talks about the story a lot in that. And yeah, he spends his whole life on this crusade around that.
And it's a lot about getting rid. I think something happened. So there's something, I think this is what you were talking about when we first saw this. And you were like, one of the things you wanted to talk about. The dad is petitioning because this is in Connecticut. And I think they got rid of the death penalty. And I believe Joshua was sentenced to death. And the dad was really upset that that was taken off the table. So he's a huge advocate for the death penalty.
That was like the part
towards the end that was like the controversial twist. I get the whole thing is controversial, but like this was the controversial twist of the story is that the dad is now a huge advocate speaking out regularly about the death penalty and like really wanting this to occur. So I'm not really sure like where they
I mean he's probably has huge survivor's guilt, so I'm sure that's part of it. It's like it doesn't feel like this can ever be put to rest until Joshua dies, I would assume. And I think Stephen ends up committing suicide, doesn't he?
I am going to go and research.
I feel like he does. But okay, so that's that one story. The other story is a Night Stalker, which is about a serial rapist and murderer. He was particularly vicious in that he would attack strangers. He would stay and eat in their house, kind of like the Golden State Killer would. He would write things on the walls, similar to the Manson incidences. And he would tell his victims to, someone was like, okay, I'll pray to God that, you know, that I'm going to pray that you're not going to like hurt my children. And he said, pray to Satan. He also smelled, like people reported of him smelling really bad, that his teeth were rotten, that he just looked kind of, the picture of him, like the artist picture of him, he has these crazy wide, like dead eyes. And they end up finding this guy named Richard Ramirez, who has had the shittiest childhood. Oh my gosh. And I feel like he never had a chance. Not that it's okay what he did, but like, yeah, I mean, what do you think is going to be the result of treating someone like he was treated? But he had everything horrible happened to him as a kid, and then also got involved in drugs. And, you know, then he was eventually caught and tried, and he died before the death penalty could be acted, because he did get the death penalty. And in this situation, too, there were chances the police had to catch him, and they weren't able to. They did have a situation where they knew he was going back to a dentist, but the someone in their in the police department said it's too much money to have people keep staking it out. We'll just put an alarm system. The alarm system didn't work. He came in the very next day after they stopped the stakeout, and they missed him, and more people died. So this is kind of another example of maybe some police work gone bad. But he's another one who really didn't have any sense of empathy, like even during the trial, was sort of, you know, would have this sign of the Pentagon on his hand and talk about Satan. And he would really he would really placate to the women. There were these women who thought he was really sexy, and he was getting all these new pictures of women. He would really like play to them. So he was another character who seemed particularly violent, particularly evil, and not really having any sense of remorse or empathy.
Totally.
So,
I mean,
which is really interesting.
Yeah, Richard Ramirez is so, like,
and he is scary. Like, when he was caught, like, he has these dead black eyes.
He's very scary. And I would say, like, Richard Ramirez is just if you think about, like, serial killers, he is pretty popular. Like, he's right up there with, like, mm-hmm. a Ted Bundy kind of thing. People mm-hmm. know who Richard Ramirez is. I just think I knew about The Night Stalker because, like, I listened to a lot of podcasts.
Oh, I did.
So I did. I listened to a lot of murder podcasts, though. So.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
I know. No. It's just me. I listen to them before I go to bed at night. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it soothes you. I understand. It
makes me feel like if somebody breaks into my house, I'm not, I mean, I'm still going to be very afraid. I've actually been having nightmares about home invasion. It's like really scary. Mm.
We'll
investigate that later.
Do you know what's interesting is I used to be really interested in serial killers when I was a kid. Not that I'm not now, but I think more so than I am now. And I used to think the same thing. Like when I was a latchkey kid, I would get home first. And I would check every single mm-hmm. inch of my house because I assumed someone was waiting there to kill me. So I would have to check every square inch to make sure that no one was there. And I always have fears about that waking up or, yeah, it's really
interesting. And Richard Ramirez is like, brings that shit home. Like, he is scary.
Definitely. Similar to the Golden State totally. Killer. And that was in California, too. I don't know what
they had a few of them.
I guess it's celebrity in Hollywood. They had a few of them at that time. And probably the nice environment, right?
Yeah. They had a few serial killers at that time. There was Richard Ramirez. There was...
Yes. 70s yeah. and 80s were real. Ted Bundy was around that time, too.
And they had a bunch of break-into-your-home type people. There was, like... Mm-hmm. There was just a ton of them.
Yeah, back when people were like, oh, I don't want to lock my doors. I think that's so interesting. But you know what's so fascinating to me about these two, and also if we put in the third from Murder Among the Mormons, and I won't give it away because it is kind of surprising who you end up. You do end up finding out who is responsible for the murders, but it's not who you expect. And I think, Iris, you're going to love it. You're going to be so like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But I would say he kind of fits the category of Joshua in that you get the sense that they actually had a pretty supportive mm-hmm. family, like a more normal family. And so you get the sense like, wow, something was maybe always missing. There was really never maybe that empathy or I don't know what happened. With Richard Ramirez, I think he was severely abused, right? Like they talk about he was left in a cemetery to hang on a cross all night by his father. And that's pretty, it's hard to imagine anything more horrible happening as mm-hmm. a child than that. I mean, that's pretty
fucked up, severe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you surprised that this person doesn't know how to interact with people? He also was, you know, homeless, similar maybe to Steven, who was kind of desperate, right, to try and get resources. Like, even when Richard was trying to get caught, he was trying to carjack and get away. It's interesting how he got caught too by the community. Mm-hmm. He was like running and people recognized him and he got hit.
Yeah, they like attacked him.
A stick or a mm-hmm. bat or something. And like the police had to stop the neighborhood from like killing him.
Because he had been really,
you've been so terrorizing.
And he was Latinx. Yeah. And he was really targeting their community so much. There was a girl who was, so what's interesting is he would abduct and sexually assault children and like do this.
That's right. He didn't discriminate, right?
Boys, little boys, girls, adult women.
Right.
But except for one boy, I believe I think he only killed one child, which I thought was pretty interesting because he wasn't the only child he'd assaulted. At the beginning,
that's true.
We hear about him.
That's true. I wonder if he saw himself.
I think so. I was thinking about that. Like there was a little mm-hmm. girl who he abducted. I think she was 7 and he sexually assaulted her numerous times throughout the night and he kidnapped her. He had taken her from her home out of the window. And she says, she's like, you know, I wasn't alarmed and I didn't scream when he took me because he seemed like like a family member. He seemed like somebody who I would know.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why that community so crazy. Was so, you know, disgusted by him because this neighborhood is like underserved already. Mm-hmm. And it was just added trauma to that neighborhood. And especially from somebody who he like was a part of that community. So it was just kind of like, I think that really.
Yeah. Yeah. He was from El Paso, right?
He was. But I think that he also like, there was something that like when he had friends.
Well, he was transient. Yeah. So he was kind of in and about.
And he had
like,
friends
that
in
part
that.
Of California.
Yes. That's the thing is like he knew people in that area. So it was just like really, mm-hmm. I think they were just like, this is ridiculous. And also just when you're already in a marginalized group and then this happens, it's just so scary. Like, there's a serial killer that nobody ever talks about right now that's on the south side of Chicago. And you just think about, like, how traumatic that is because no one talks about it. And it's already happening in the side of the city that nobody seems to care about anyway. And I wonder sometimes if that's why things continue to happen for so long. I mean, it was great that they put the task
force. I know. And what's interesting, though, is that in this Cheshire murder situation, this is the exact family they should have not fucked up with, right? Like, this was a well-known family in the community. They were a pillar of the community. They were white. They were rich. And yet they did everything possible wrong. And that's, I mean, I can't imagine them doing more things wrong than what they did. I mean, first of all, why aren't you telling the person who calls 911? Because they're like, oh, is she still there? And they're like, yeah, she's still here, right? I believe that's true. And why did you say stall? Yeah. Like, try. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't possible. You know, I'm sort of playing Monday morning quarterback, and that's so annoying when people do that. But I mean, then they go back and they sit outside the house.
They were there.
Maybe they were worried. Yeah, maybe they were worried that they would kill them because it is an abduction situation at that point. But I mean, then you're hearing screaming.
And they never announced that they were there, which is what I think. I think that if you would have announced that you were there, maybe there could have been some negotiations. But it was like they were sitting there.
Yeah. And this is, of course, this is small town police that probably had no training or no idea how to handle this situation, which I think goes to what we're learning about the police, and that they're really ill-equipped and they have very little training to handle the situations that they're paid to deal with.
So I feel like those two situations in particular were, those two documentaries were horrifying. So scary to think about. Richard Ramirez is kind of just like this super high profile serial killer. Like, he is in like the gear, like what is his name? He's like a Ted Bundy. He's like, what's the guy from Illinois? Oh my God, the super creepy one who with
Jeffrey
like he's
Dahmer.
In line with those people. It's all around the same time. Like, he is somebody who people know about because it was like such a huge deal and just scary. But like, these Cheshire murders, I had never heard of this before, and it happened so recently.
Yes.
I mean, that was so recent and could totally, like, you know, scarily.
Yeah, and to me, I have all the things I've heard about, that's the most horrifying situation I've
and
ever heard
sees
of.
You
because
at the
it's so tragic.
And follows you home. It's just so, like.
Yeah, it's so predatory. It's so tragic. It's, I mean, that, just that poor woman and how, like, the mom, wife that was so scared going in, and you see a picture of her like in the bank. I mean, it's just really
right. And they're thinking, you know, if we follow the rules, then this will be okay. And that was just,
yeah. I mean, I wonder what she thought. If she had a sense, like, I don't think this is going to end well.
Maybe.
Like, sometimes we,
I think they
we have a feeling about
that.
And I'm sure she knew something was wrong when she got back. And I'm sure she sensed something happened with her daughter.
I think that they, at that point, I feel like they were going to kill them.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was probably always Joshua's intent. I don't think it was Stephen's.
Right.
But I think it was Joshua's. I think he didn't really care. And what's really interesting about this murder among Mormons is that was his mentality too. And I'm going to give some things away
unless you don't want me to.
Watch
it anyway.
So he, so he ends up killing two people in these with two different bombs. And the one bomb was literally just a diversion. And they asked him about that. They said, like, oh, and he said, oh, the bomb, I wasn't sure if it would work or not. I had like, it was like 50-50 chance that it would work. I wasn't sure if this bomb that was a diversion. I knew the bomb that he definitely wanted to work, he wrapped it in nails so that it would explode with shrapnel and hurt. I mean, it was horrible. And then the other one, he's like, yeah, that was just a diversion. I wasn't really sure if it was going to work or not. And so they asked him, like, well, did you really need to do that then? And he was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just thought like either would happen or wouldn't. It didn't really matter either way. I mean, his lack of concern about, and he also said about the people who died, he's like, well, they're not suffering anymore. So, you know, I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's just so crazy.
like no sense of empathy or understand. Like there was a little bit of like, oh, my family, because he had a family. And so they were talking about, well, you know, you've really hurt them. And he's like, yeah, well, I deserve whatever I get. But yes, of course, this is hard on my family. But I mean, it just, I don't know that I've heard such callousness spelled out so well. Because, you know, usually you don't get to have an interview like this. And he was so honest in the interview.
That's nice. I mean, that's something.
Yeah. And it was just so, it was so clear that he just felt like he had no other choice. This was self-preservation. And so it was including killing. And that was fine for him.
That's just so crazy. I feel like something like this.
Yes.
I recently saw something about this too. And I don't remember what it was, but there was somebody else where they were just like, people dying is like a means to an end. And I was just like, what the hell is going on here? It's so sad. But I thought those were two.
Yeah.
Three, because I didn't watch the last one, but it sounds really good. So I guess what, like, do you have any thoughts though about anything else that we kind of missed when we were talking about this? Otherwise, guys, we just encourage you to go watch these. I think they're really good.
Yeah, we've given away some things, but hopefully I haven't given you too much away about yeah. what I just
no.
said. Irish
and honestly, we
Mormons,
didn't tell
but
them.
It invests totally. You in going.
And
to
be honest, I will say, like, watching the Richard Ramirez story and watching the Cheshire Murders, because I did watch both of those, I think that we kind of like touched the surface. Like these documentaries, if you were like really interested,
yeah, that's true.
So much more, like Joshua and like.
And you really have to watch
yeah.
it to get a sense
like,
of it,
talking
too,
into
I would say.
Like, one of the things I will say, like, I won't well, I mean, I don't mind spoiling it. It's interesting to watch the Joshua thing in particular from Cheshire Murders because he did have a good family. But if you remember, they kept sending him to these, like, Bible camps. And I feel like that was, like...
Oh,
yeah,
I forgot
so
about that. Okay, so that does... Okay, so there was a sense of him not being
yes,
okay how
exactly.
he was as a person.
And remember, he had married the girl. Because, oh, we forgot to mention, Joshua is married. And
oh, and maybe that was because they already knew he had pedophilia. I wonder if they were trying to extinguish it. I forget if they knew about that. Because he had that whole thing
right.
with that other girl.
Well, see,
that was like
it
too
wasn't
young,
even,
right?
Yeah, she was young, but it was just that, you know, it was the whole... You're being dirty if you are at all interested in anyone. Like it was a lot of demonizing his sexuality.
Oh yeah, so I'm sure that can encourage his pedophilia. I mean, like yeah, if you're telling someone they're evil, then they're and like these things are wrong. You're going to encourage that behavior more. I don't understand why
yeah.
people think
and
that
so
works.
He ends up marrying this woman, and he's texting her. So like, there's a lot. He's texting her while he's doing this, the 7 hour thing. He's texting her and asking her to be his alibi because he kind of is building it out that he knows that he's going to get caught. And if you remember, she was really prepubescent too, and she was young when they met. So, like, there's just a lot.
Yeah, didn't she try to be for
she
a
did.
While or something?
There's a lot
yeah.
with her story. And then you get to go into Steven's background, and he has an ex-wife, and there's stuff going on there too. It's really great. And then for Richard Ramirez, like, they talk about his background, but then also you get this really rich background on like the two cops who handle this and like his family and like how it impacted his family. And I think you get to, and the nice thing about the Richard Ramirez one is you do get to interview there. Now you don't interview them, but the documentary does interview survivors, which I think, and they're willing to tell their story. Like they tell their whole story. And I think it's very impactful. So if you're at all interested, I would still say, even though we kind of told you about it, check it out.
Yes. I agree. Yes.
Totally.
This is just a tip of the iceberg.
What is next on your must watch list, Jamie?
Well, I've been watching Reno 911.
I love that.
And I love
what
it.
A light.
It's the best portrayal of law enforcement. It's the most accurate portrayal, I think, of law enforcement. And it's actually, by the way, I think it's coming back. Like, you know what I realize? I realize now that I have Paramount Plus,
okay,
my
perfect.
Life is complete because I was really missing The Daily Show and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Now I can watch it, and
it's just
gives
lift,
my heart
it's a
so
lift
much
on
pleasure
your soul now.
Yeah, I'm just like Trevor Noah, Stephen Colbert. You complete me, like the two of you, not just one of you. I need both. Yeah, but they're so great. I mean, I've been laughing
amazing.
So much, and I didn't realize how much I missed them until I'm watching them now. So that's been really great. I might watch Murder Among Mormons again because it was so good and I'm so fascinated by it. What else? Oh, finishing Alan versus Pharaoh. Did
No,
you
no.
see Sunday's
I'm waiting until it's
episode?
done.
Oh, girl, that's so amazing. It's so exactly where I'm at right
Oh,
now in my life.
I
I
gotta
can't
watch
even
this so
tell
I can
you because
see.
no, because you know how I'm so big about misogyny and patriarchy and sexism and like how, you know, men get to sort of run everything and have all the control and power, and women are just like, oh, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. And that's exactly how the situation is with Alan and Farrell. Like, she has no choice. And I think she really felt that. And she's supposed to feel indebted to him because he's helping her career. I mean, it's so messed up. It's so messed up. I can't even tell you. But that's so how I feel. And that was years ago. So, you know, now I think women have a little bit more, but, and of course I'm speaking, you know, stereotypically and generally and in a binary way and probably from a heterosexual perspective. But yeah, I mean, it's wow, it's just
Okay, that's
incredible.
awesome. I'm gonna make sure to finish that too. It is on my list.
Yeah, I think it finishes Sunday, so you could watch it
If I
all of
get
it
this,
Sunday
I
if
might watch
you
it Monday.
wanted
I'm gonna
to.
be excited. Anything else that you would care
Okay,
to
yeah.
recommend?
I think I already talked about
I don't
Tiger,
think
the
you talked about it
documentary,
on
right?
here.
Or did I not? Oh gosh, it's so good. I actually am thinking about maybe having us watch it
Oh,
for
I
the
love that.
anti-racist book club that I'm in with my family because of the intersectionality of it. You know, it's not just about racism, but like it so plays into what happened. Like even I think how his father treats him has to do with race, and how much he like built him up to be this god, and then how he's treated in the sports industry, and how he's portrayed as a role model. Similar to O.J. Simpson, but in
Yes,
different
Tiger.
ways. And I think Tiger handled it in different ways than O.J. did. Like, at least he addressed it. I think O.J. didn't address it until he was a murderer. And then he was like, oh shit, I'm a
I gotta
murderer. I
speak on
better
it.
like pretend I'm a black man and
I
get some
have not
sympathy.
watched eat that at all. I'm gonna start. It's on my list of stuff.
But yeah, so I could keep talking forever. What about you? What are you recommending? What are you
So I
watching?
am watching. I started watching an old show, Revenge, which I think a lot of people are watching it now. So
Oh,
I'm rewatching Revenge,
yes,
which is
okay.
great. I don't
I've
know if
never
you'd love
seen
it, but
that.
you could try it. But I don't know if it's. I don't know. So
Okay.
I'm rewatching Revenge.
Okay.
What else am I watching? I'm watching Revenge. I'm watching Prodigal Son Always, which is a new. It's like an active show. Would recommend.
Okay,
Also watching Clarice, which is also an active show. Definitely.
would I like that? Because I can watch that now that I have Paramount
I
Plus.
would say,
Paramount Plus! They should
yeah,
be
like guys, we're
paying for
plugging
this.
you.
Shit.
I feel like you should try it, but I don't know if you'll like it. I'm not sure. Like, that's one of the things that we haven't touched on
Okay.
is like if that would be your jam or not.
Yeah, I think I have enough Trevor Noah and Stephen
I think you're
Colbert to keep
good.
me warm at
And like, I
night.
think
You
you
know,
have
I think
enough
I'll be
murder
okay.
too. I don't think you
There's
need
so
any
many
more murder,
episodes
and
I
that's
can
what
go
it's
back to.
about.
True, true. Oh, this is another show I've been watching. So, you know how I'm
Yes.
obsessed with Bob's Burgers? There's a new show by the same creators called The Great North, and it stars
Oh, cute.
Jenny Slate and Ron Swanson, who that's not
Yes,
his
I know who
name,
you're
but I
talking about,
forget the
though.
name, his actual name, and Will
Fine.
Forte. And it's awesome. It's about they're an Alaskan family, and it's really cute. It's exactly like Bob's Burgers, but different, but kind of similar. And yeah, there is like it's
Okay.
somewhat diverse. You know, there is a LGBTQ character. There's a black character. So I think for
Yeah, I don't
Alaska,
know
that's
who
not
really lives in
bad.
Alaska.
It could
I
be
mean, they
more
probably could put some
diverse,
Native people there because I
but
think there's lots of those, but
you know, that's a really good point. They
maybe
probably should
next
do that, and I
season.
don't think they really have done a very good job. But they do have an imaginary Alanis Morissette that is actually voiced by Alanis Morissette, who Jenny Slate plays as like a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old, and she has an
I think we
imaginary
should all have an
Alanis
imaginary one.
Morissette. Yeah. And she goes up on the roof and she's in the sky.
Okay, that's
really
a good
cute.
one too, guys. Let me see. What else am I watching? So Revenge, and I'm watching Clarice, and I'm watching Prodigal Son. I'm always watching Law and Order. I'm always watching 4 Dates.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Should we do a countdown to
Stabler's return?
Stabler returning? I'm like, I am
Stabler's
on pins and
coming. I'm so
this.
Excited.
I'm so
They're
excited.
Like, hey, you're going to get this award.
Oh, my gosh.
And maybe other people who you know are going to show up. And I'm
yeah, you never
like,
know who's going to show up.
I know
up.
Who's
yeah,
showing up.
Ice tea.
And I'm excited.
Yes, we fucking know. And we can't wait. And there was this one ad that was talking about their sex appeal. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I am all
me
on
too.
Board
I
for
want
them
Stabler
to be in a relationship.
I feel like
that
we
would
need
be
Stabler.
Fucking amazing. It would be amazing. And I doubt they're going to do it, but it
I would
be
it.
So
Stabler
amazing.
Can come back anytime. I'm going to be.
Well, you
no,
know.
I know.
Well, you know he is, though. He
I
has
know,
his own
but
show
I
now.
want to see them
Okay.
together.
Okay. Because that, no, I know. And I'm thinking it's possible if they're on separate shows. They would never do it if they're on the same show, but I'm like, but it's kind of perfect because they're on separate shows. So they don't always have to do, like, because that's the issue with shows, right? Is that, like, and I think everyone was worried about that with The Office, but it didn't happen, luckily, with Pam and Jim. But that always, like, happens in shows where there's that sexual tension and they finally get together and then it's like there's no show anymore. That happened in Caroline in the City, I think.
Never seen that.
When they finally got to, I know it's a totally random show and I don't know who's going to even know what I'm talking about. But so it would work though, because they're not in the same show. So the show wouldn't become all about their relationship, but it could be like good crossover situations where some episodes, or like they're just in the other show, but
their
it's
stuff.
Not about like what their job is. Oh my gosh, I'm all for it. I now I'm going to be kind of disappointed that doesn't happen because I don't know that
people
it is,
want
but it would be great. But I'm just so happy for him to be back. And I think
he's
still going to be sexy. He's just going to be like Antonio Banderas, older man sexy. And I'm so for that. I'm all
excited
about it.
Too.
I can't
so
wait.
So I'm watching that.
I've been missing sexiness in my life. I mean, and I've already got it with
go.
Trevor Noah and Stephen Colbert. So I'm like, I'm going to be on sexy
like,
overload
for
and I'm
all
totally
of it.
Fine with that.
So I'm watching that.
Who needs a boyfriend
when you have Paramount?
When you have imaginary when you have imaginary sexy men in your
that's
life.
All,
that's all
it's less stressful. So I'm watching that.
Oh, for sure.
What else
for
am
sure.
I? Am I watching
less work.
Oh, I recently finished Ginny and Georgia. It's on Netflix. Would recommend.
Oh, I did
really
see,
good.
I did see that.
I would totally
I hadn't
recommend
seen
it,
before. It.
I think it's really awesome. I loved it. Finished the whole thing. Would recommend it. It's lighthearted, but it's heavy. It's like a good, easy watch. So would recommend. And I just started watching Moxie, which I think you might actually like. It's about female empowerment.
Okay.
And there's a 16-year-old girl who's like noticing
it.
How sexist her school is. Like, for instance, the football team sucks, but they're always like rallying around them and doing like their, you know, that kind of stuff. And she's like trying to figure out her college essay and figuring out who she is. I just am on episode one, but it's good. And I think you would like it. So that is also on Netflix.
Nice. You know that that reminds me of is one of the guests that Stephen Colbert had was the woman who did
I
May Destroy You, which was wait, what? Oh my God. No, you have. Iris, you need to stop what you're doing now and you need to watch that show. I cannot believe you've not seen it. I don't know if I've ever talked to Heidi. She would love it too because it covers sexual assault and it's based on her own experience from her life. And it's one of the most incredible TV shows of the entire year. And I'm not kidding. Like, that was what literally was put in like New York Times and Thrillist and like all these different magazines or newspapers. And there was a huge uproar when it got nominated nothing in the Golden Globes. Because you have, you know, crazy white shit that's getting, cause she's black. She's a British black actress and she wrote and starred and directed in it. And she's also written other stuff too. And it was just amazing. I mean, the commentary on like all the different nuances of different types of sexual assault that can happen. Just that alone made it amazing. But there are so many other amazing
things
about it.
I think that probably,
So yeah. I highly recommend that show.
I will watch it.
If you
I
haven't will. Seen it's on HBO now.
Thank you. I've got three things on my list.
Okay. Yes, I may destroy you.
Well, as a final parting note, like in the words, like thinking about the Golden Globes, like I think when you just told me that, I'm like, I've been thinking about this a lot. I kind of think that it might be easier if Black people just started to create their own stuff, because I just don't think there's their own everything.
Their own award
it's
shows.
It's been really bad with The Bachelor. Like I'm feeling really tender from the Meghan Markle and Harry thing. It's just like,
Oh yeah, I was gonna say we should talk about that. We could talk about that too. Wow, that was insane. I mean, I didn't even see it, but I actually saw.
It's
Stephen
just
Colbert's
all so sad,
on
and it's
it.
Just. Mm-hmm.
And Oprah's reaction was so not. I mean, I'm not surprised, but like it was interesting. Like she had a really strong reaction to hearing about their questioning of the race. Mm-hmm. And then I sent you that meme today about how ugly all the
question
royals
anybody.
Are. How dare they think that be concerned about how a baby looks when they're all
freaking
uggos.
I just think it's like it's so much.
Which is fine. It's okay to be ugly, by the way.
And whatever.
They're all uggos. But they kind of deserve it. They're not nice
to be
people.
This crazy. But I think it's just like so overwhelming at this point that I'm just like, and like the con, like.
Yeah, just creating your own things. Although, isn't that kind of promoting separatism?
No, I mean, here's what I'm saying.
But maybe it's different because it's coming from people of color.
So what I would say is like, I think that Black people have been trying for a really long time not to promote separatism. Like even in the world of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, I feel like the narrative is always that Martin Luther King is extremely positive and uplifting, and we all aspire to be this way. And then Malcolm X, we're all like, he was great and definitely important, but like, no, we don't want to do those things. And I'm not suggesting like we don't have any kind of combination of things, but I just feel like asking White America to really step up and do things the way that we would need them to be done, because it's just continuously messed up. It honestly is exhausting. And I think that like having to have conversations many times to explain why this is right. Well,
like this,
not necessarily.
This conversation.
It's just, you know, it's just exhausting. And so sometimes I'm like, we can all be together, but like depending upon people to like after, I mean, what are we at? 200 years to finally be like, you know what, guys? Yeah, you're right. We should really try. Because I think that here's the thing. It's like the effort is now there more so than it ever has been. But I think the fucks of Black people are gone. So I think I'm just really like over it. And I don't think that we're I feel like it's difficult. I don't feel like Black people at large are in the same space that white people are. Because I think white people are asking for a lot of help. Like, okay, we finally get it. We hear you. So help us to be better people. And it's like, okay, see, we were trying to help you be better people in the 80s. And I think that like now we're just done. Like it's exhausting at this point.
It's too late. Yeah. Go back and like watch all
do your own work.
Watch
like,
videos.
It's just been ongoing. And I think that like people are just really, speaking for myself, very exhausted with it. It is just...
I think that makes sense. I mean, not that I need to validate.
Yeah,
it's what you feel, right?
Exhausting.
So it doesn't really matter it's true or not.
People are able to seriously, like, I've seen people literally say, "How do we know if they?" Like, it's a general question. What color will the baby be? That's harmless. That's just passive. And it's like, if that's where I'm just like, if that's where we're at, then I'm out. Like, we can't start the whole, well, how did they mean it? You need to understand the context. Like, I don't think anybody is interested in doing that. So I just think it's exhausting. And I, for one, would be totally on board with everybody just being like, you know, we're tired of explaining it to you. We don't, if you want to do it better, do it better. But like, I can't wait around and depend upon you to do the right thing. It's just like totally unbeknownst to people at large. Like I don't think most people are trying to be racist. It's just so ingrained that it is happening. And I think that Black people are so over it, myself particularly, and I can't speak for every Black person, but I'm so over it that I'm just like, I don't even want to talk to people about it anymore. Like, if you don't get it, you don't get it. And I don't want to explain or talk or, you know, really do anything. I genuinely think that, like, I honestly considered, I was like, I feel like I might just, like, need a break from white people. And not necessarily, like, you or Heidi.
I mean, it would be okay if you did.
So it's just like sometimes so overwhelming that I'm just like, I think I need a break. And it's sad to get to that place, but I think lots of people feel that way because it's like constant, on barragement of shit. So I think like the Meghan Markle thing, especially I think Oprah's reaction is like shock at the fact that it's like, you know that it's going to happen, but you kind of just hoped it wasn't. And it's just sad. It's so sad that it's 2021. You are asking this lady, who, by the way, is extremely fair skinned. So why are you like, even that little tiny amount of color was so scary to you. That's kind of hopeless for everybody else, right? Like if that tiny amount of Meghan Markle, that quarter black child was so scary to you that you needed to question it, not give it security and not give it a title. That's what do you do with that? Right? Like if Meghan Markle is not accepted, furthermore, if Archie is not going to be, if Archie is too black, what about the rest of us?
I don't know.
It's really depressing. It's a very good point. I like honestly such a shitty week with that. And it's only Tuesday, guys. It's Tuesday. Who knows what'll happen tomorrow and the rest of the week? I mean, it's as exhausting at Tuesday. So I don't know, not to end it on a sober note, but everyone should do like a little reflection. Like you should question yourself and your reaction to Meghan Markle over the last couple of years, because there's probably a little bit of unconscious bias in there. And you should probably think about it. Just an encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I sent you that thing about Pierce and just all his comments. Like, oh, my gosh. She's needed to be canceled for years. So
say that Pierce I'm glad Morgan, that's finally happening. I'm not going to push that the racism is the top of his agenda. He's pissed off because she didn't want to fuck him. And that is disgusting. Like, that's even worse, because that's his biggest issue with her, is that she doesn't, like, they used to be friends and she cut him off. He is upset that she does not want to fuck him. Like, so he's entitled to her. How gross. Yeah. Like, it's just so many issues. And, like, women coming after her on International Women's Day. I'm like, seriously, guys? Gross. So, anyway. Happy Tuesday.
Anyway. Happy Tuesday, murder and racism.
I hope that's not 2021, but so far, it's looking like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
ugh, no.
Is it surprising?
It's depressing. No. Yes.
No.
Well, guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to watch. I mean, not the racism, but the interview and like, the shows are interesting. If
you want to incite yourself, you should watch it. I think it's it's shocking. Like, the lack of care about something. Okay, let's get away from the racism and the sexism. Prince William and Kate Middleton are literally promoting mental health right now. And yes, right.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's fucked up.
No, just but for not everybody for else. Royals,
though. Like, for everybody else. Because they're, like, because they don't have any mental health issues whatsoever from inbreeding.
And if you wanted to go to therapy, that would be embarrassing.
Celebrities or the pressure that they're under.
They're good. But you guys, none of that. You should all go to therapy.
No, that's, yeah.
Ugh, yeah, like, you guys even are when I was, like, thinking about that, I was, like, that is insane. That, like, you wouldn't let this woman who literally said she was going to.
That is insane. I didn't realize gross. That.
I mean, honestly, they need to do better. And even they, like, wrote a little response today. And they were like, hey, we're really sorry that you feel that way. And, like, maybe our memories all might be different of what was said. But we're still sorry you feel that way. No, I'm so serious. It was so bad.
Well, and I also heard. Where did I see this that Oprah had and it had to say? I think it she felt kind of pressured to say that she heard that it wasn't the Queen or Duke Philip or Prince Philip. So she they must have gotten pressure, and then Oprah they had to say to Oprah, like, you gotta say this. Totally. So that's really interesting, I think. And also makes you think, like, well, but that's kind of bullshit. Like, they probably were involved in some way, even if they didn't say it. I mean, of course, like, It's like you doth protest a little too much. And like, if you really wanted to write this, you would come out with a statement yourself and really like try to be really humble and accountable.
It's really
and you're
sad.
Not doing that.
Like, it's so sad. And honestly, I will say no.
Yeah,
no.
But surprise,
what I
will say,
though, is, like, I know a lot of the times people in America, like, it is dark here. Like I just said, like, it is overwhelming how many microaggressions go out and like how much work it is expected of Black people to do. Like, it is exhausting. I will put that out there. But what I will say is, like, what I'm seeing, because I've been like looking it up and like following things because I like to torture myself, is that the way that American people are responding to the Harry and Meghan situation is like really hopeful. Like, yes, I have my issues and like we could go about that all day, but like British people are like, the way that they are attacking her is like really disgusting. And so that part was surprising, that like the vast majority of American people I've seen have been like, yeah, this is fucked up. Like, at least we are willing to acknowledge. So I will give us some credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's because
that's true.
Yeah, cause I think it's because we talk about it a lot here.
Credit.
I don't know how much it's talked about there, but like, I think people here get that it's not okay.
Yeah.
Which is a step. It's a step that I'm like, cool, don't want to help you with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that you're saying that.
Yeah,
I think that's very generous of you.
I am trying to be fair. it's still annoying, and I still think that we could do better, but I am going to say that, like, the response has been far less racist here. So, yay, America. Good job.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yes, I believe as a therapist in like celebrating small successes, but I don't know. This is really, it's so little. It's so much more could be done. But yes, okay,
we
celebrate small successes.
We were like,
okay,
that.
I'll try to get there
with
you.
Like, we were at least able to be like, not cool. So we're not going to do anything about it, but we were still like, not cool, which is, you know, okay, cool. Better than the other people over there. So. Okay, guys, I think that's it from us. Do you have anything else for me? Okay.
No.
I think so, too.
I think that was good. Thanks for talking to me about this. It was great. And I can't wait till
it.
You see Murder Among Mormons.
And Tiger.
And I May Destroy You. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's getting long.
And
it's getting
Tiger.
Long.
Oh.
And me.
Yeah, well, you got
Trudette,
time now that you're not watching
reality TV
unless you change
and
your
I
mind.
And I also only have one job, so.
Good for you.
Yes, I do.
There you
go. Guys.
So you got time.
Everyone have a wonderful rest of your week. We will be back next week and we'll just see what other craziness happens by then. But otherwise, hopefully we aren't.
Oh my gosh.
2021
yes.
And
knows?
It's only March, but it's not as bad as last year. So I am going to say I'm grateful. Don't curse
Seriously.
Us from the nature. I am grateful.
This is true. We're recording this almost on the anniversary. So
let's
maybe that's
it.
Something we should talk about next time.
Yes,
like the positives.
Yes, for sure.
COVID. And then we can be silent for like a minute.
It'll
be
like a little moment of silence. I love it. I did not.
That's what Jim Gaffigan did. He did like this anniversary spoof and he was like, okay, but let's take a moment to like talk about the positives. And then he just was quiet. And then he's like, okay, so.
Perfect.
It was really cute.
We will rip him off and do very similar things.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will.
Yes. And don't forget
we'll
to
catch
like,
up with all of you soon.
Leave us a comment. Totally. Bye, guys.
Like and subscribe.
Oh, yeah, I love bad reviews. Bye.
Bad reviews.